Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21 through 28 is our text for this afternoon. And as you read down through this portion, I think you will find that it speaks to you in various ways concerning the Lord's dealings with your souls. You will find that the Lord's dealing with you can at times be perplexing. A Christian may pray earnestly to the Lord at a time of difficulty, and it seems as if heaven returns no answer. And then on top of this, difficulties and discouragements even increase. And you ask yourself, how ought I to respond to such an experience? But of course, it's not just something that we endure as Christians. It can begin even upon our first coming to faith. Where a sinner is stirred up to a true sense of need, go to Christ in a kind of desperation, laying hold of the bare promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And crying to God in faith in that way, they face a seeming silence. They find no relief. Indeed, it can appear that they are inundated with further obstacles in their path. What are they to do? Well, our text this afternoon helps us. In Matthew chapter 15, we move the Pharisees for their wrong ideas concerning defilement. Eternal things, Jesus says, no, it's that which comes out of the heart which ultimately defiles the man. In other words, rebuked the Pharisees, he then moves north out of the region of Galilee to the northern border of the land of Canaan, where it touches the region of Tyre and Sidon. And we're told that there Jesus meets a woman of Canaan. She's often known as the Syrophoenician woman. And a number of things come together in her. She's a woman of Canaan, yet she seems by way of ethnicity to come from the region of Phoenicia, or over towards Greece. So she's very clearly of Gentile origin. As we encounter God's word, however, the Lord says in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. With God's help this afternoon, I want to speak to you about this. And we could call her the Syrophoenician woman, and many of you would know who she is by that title. But instead, I simply want to call her Mrs. Great Faith, because that is, in a sense, what the Lord Jesus calls her, Mrs. Great Faith. The first thing I want to note here is her importance historically. Before we get to her significance for you and I in our own wrestling with the Lord, we have to recognize that this incident is of larger importance to the ministry of Christ in redemptive history. Because it shows us that while the gospel is to the Jew first, that it is also to the Greek. Because our Lord Jesus Christ crosses over the border and he enters into Gentile territory. And it is there that this woman whose daughter is possessed with a devil comes and pleads with him, saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, help me. Yet we discover that although she is a woman of Canaan, yet she has some knowledge of Jewish religion. Look at verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, listen, thou son of David. very important words, "Thou son of David." She uses the language of the Jewish Messiah. Well, here she is, the Syrophoenician, Greek, Gentile woman of Canaan. "Lord, son of David, have mercy upon me." Well, how does the Lord respond to her? In verse 23, she first meets with silence, but he answered her not a word. But Christ's silence does not dissuade her, so she continues to cry to the point that she annoys the disciples. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "Send her away." Now why? Why do they say that? Well, there are two reasons. The first is they're just annoyed and they want her to go away, no matter what the Lord does in answer to her cry. Or the second answer, and probably the correct answer, is they want Jesus to heal her quickly because she's annoying them. "Lord, hurry up. We can't really bear her crying any longer. Send her away." Well, Jesus answers the disciples in the hearing of this woman in verse 24 and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What does the woman do next? She comes and worships him. Very likely, she falls at the feet of the one who has been silent, whom she has just heard say to the disciples, "I'm not come for people like this." She worships him. Then Jesus speaks directly to her cry, "Help me," in verse 26, and he answers and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." It meant not part of the covenant community. It meant to be a Gentile and afar off, over against a Jew unto whom the knowledge. So Jesus is saying to this begging Canaanite woman, "I have come unto my own. Salvation is of the Jews. You are a Gentile dog. It's not right for me to take the food of the children and to feed it unto dogs." Would you see how important? Because salvation was of the Jews. The Messiah was the Savior of the Jews. God had dealt with the Jews in a way that he had dealt with no other nation in the world. All of those things that we find the Apostle Paul speaking of in Romans chapter 3 and again in Romans chapter 9. And so Jesus is making a theological point here. Salvation is of the Jews and you are not a Jew. But how does she respond to Christ when she is rebuffed? Well, she doesn't turn away when he is silent. She accepts what he said, hears enough or knows enough still to hope. It is truly wonderful when you think of how this woman responded to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said already that she knows that he is the son of David. "You are the Messiah." Well, it seems to be that she knows more than that. Yes, salvation is of the Jews, but there was more revealed in the Old Testament, that the nations of the world would also be saved in the Jewish Messiah. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, "In thy seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Psalms like Psalm 67, "Lord, bless us and pity us." To what end? The earth and the nations of the world may know your saving grace. Psalm 72, all of the kingdoms of the earth are coming into the kingdom of Messiah. Isaiah chapter 60 opened the gates of the city so that the riches and the forces of the Gentiles might flow into the church of God. Here's a woman, and she has but an ounce of truth. And yet she holds fast to it. She knows she's a stranger. She knows she is unworthy. But she also knows even a crumb of the grace of Christ will do. Verse 27. And she said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Well, upon this response, Christ commends her for her faith and gives her her heart's desire. Who is this woman then? Well, don't you see, she is a Gentile who has become a believer in the Christ of God. And that although she comes begging the deliverance for her daughter, yet she comes with faith in Messiah. This is massive in Matthew's gospel. Matthew is writing for a Jewish audience. And imagine you're a Jew and you pick this up and you would receive this loud and clear that the Lord is making a point that the Gentiles are coming into the kingdom of God. That although salvation is of the Jews and to the Jew first, yet it is also for the Greek. So we sang, didn't we, in Psalm 87 of this very thing. Who is going to be born in the city of God? It will be those of Ethiopia and Tyre and Palestine. They're going to be found in the glorious city. This man and that man and this woman and that man, or this woman and that woman, will be born in her. Jesus is doing it this day in of grace, who owns Israel's Messiah. Yet the very children of which Jesus speaks here are sitting at the table refusing to eat. That's the power of the passage. It's not meat for me to take the children's food and give it unto dogs. Well, the children are not even eating the food. And Jesus says the outsider is going to come in and vice versa. The insider is going to be cast out. Oh, hear the force of this passage today, because it speaks to you in the church as much as it spoke to the Jew in the day of Jesus. The children of the kingdom will be cast out for their Christ rejection and the despising of all of their covenant privileges. Yet those outside, sinners, will be brought in through faith in our Redeemer. That's the importance of this woman historically. But secondly, her significance to conversion. Her significance to conversion. Now, this is not her conversion. It's evident that she's identified Messiah, she's believing in Messiah, and she comes to him to heal her daughter. However, her desire is for spiritual deliverance. She wants the devil cast out of her daughter. And in how she comes and how Jesus deals with her soul, we find one way in which the Lord may deal with our souls. Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. But on each occasion, the verb is in the continuous tense. So that it's not just knock once, seek once, ask once, and you will get what you desire. But keep asking, keep knocking, and keep seeking until you get what you desire. And isn't that what we find in our Mrs. Great Faith? At first, Christ was silent, yet she continues to plead. She wants mercy. She needs help. And while it is for her daughter, it still comes across as a personal plea. Note the pronouns in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried, have mercy on me. She says, have mercy upon my daughter. It's a personal plea. Have mercy upon me. Then again in verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Well, consider a sinner who wakes up to see his predicament in sin, and knows that he or she is helpless and needs to go to Christ in order that they might receive mercy and grace and help and deliverance. And they begin to cry and they ask themselves this question, does Jesus not hear? And they continue to cry and they ask themselves, has Jesus not promised to receive all that call upon him? And of course the answer is yes. But it does not mean that he will open at the first knock. He might put our souls to the test. So the convicted heart cries, and it continues to cry because it's determined to obtain what it needs. Mercy. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. Isn't that what the publican asked for? Standing at the back of the temple, beating upon his breast, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Isn't that what the blind man, Jericho, he couldn't see, but he knew something was going on. The crowd was going. There was a furore around him. What is it? Jesus of Nazareth is passing. What does he do? He begins to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they say, keep quiet, you're making a scene. And he cries the louder, Jesus, thou son of mercy, or son of David, have mercy upon me. And he keeps on crying. Jesus stops. And the poor beggar can't see that. He's blind. And he keeps crying. He can't see that Jesus is now walking to him. He keeps crying. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And then he hears Jesus saying, what would you have me to do for you? Ah, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You see it in this woman. Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, help me. Just when Christ was silent, she continues to plead. But more than that, when she is positively discouraged, she still seeks. When she is positively discouraged, she still seeks. First by the disciples, who whatever they meant by send her away, heal her quickly, they certainly lacked compassion. Well, that happens, doesn't it? God's people discourage people. They get in the way. But then she receives more discouragement from Jesus himself. Jesus compares her to a dog. And he says, "What right do you, a dog, have to children's food? What claim have you on covenant mercy? You are an unworthy outsider. You are a wretch." The woman says within her soul, "I know." You see, when a proud sinner hears that kind of verdict from the Lord Jesus Christ, they are disgusted not with themselves, but with Christ. They're not going to be called a dog by anyone. And then that pride is sometimes hidden in this way. That when we come thinking we have a sense of sin and we ask Christ for salvation and nothing happens, pride comes out because we do not continue to seek in order that we might obtain. We give up. Humility accepts all of the charges. Everything Christ says about our souls, we amen within our hearts. Does Christ say we are sinners? Then we own we are sinners. Does Christ say we are vile and disgusting? Then we own that. Does Jesus call us a dog? Then dogs we are. How many people say, "Well, I called upon the Lord once, and he didn't hear me. Or I began to call upon the Lord once, and things got worse and worse in my life." Every time you meet them, they're angry with God. Not this woman. Because this woman is sincere in her soul, and she knows that what she needs can only be found in Christ. And she says, "If dogs get crumbs, I will take crumbs." In the better weather, we go and sit on the deck mid-morning for tea break, even though we drink coffee. And we may have something with it. And one of us is more merciful than the other to the dog. The dog comes around and it sits and it offers its paw and it lies down. It does all the things that we teach it to do before we give it a treat, even when we're not offering it the treat. And the poor thing sits and it starts to drool, and all of the drools dropping down onto the deck. And then one of us yields and we give it the treat under the table. It's like this woman. There she is, putting herself in the way, doing everything she can that she might just get a crumb. And you know what Jesus is doing? He's drawing out her faith. Faith that was there at the beginning that other people may never have seen, or she might never have even understood herself or questioned, was it there? And all the while, outwardly, Jesus is doing everything that looks as though he's driving her away. And at the same time, inwardly, he's drawing this woman irresistibly to himself. She worships at his feet when he tells her to go away. You ever convicted of your sin? You ever feel like you're crying unto God and he doesn't hear? Are you ever discouraged, seeking peace and not being able to find it? do you find yourself coming like this woman? To the point where you say, there is more to my soul in the crumbs that Christ can give me than there is in the whole world. Lord, give me the crumb. What's interesting is Jesus says, I am not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he calls her a dog. And she says, very well, I'll come. Herself to be a sheep because his sheep hear his voice and come to him. She is one of those that Jesus speaks of himself in John chapter 10. Other sheep have I that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. But they must have him. They must have him. You know, what a thing that we can be presenting Christ in the congregation in this way. And there are people like this woman, and they're begging, just give me a crumb. And there are others, and the table is spread. And they have no appetite whatsoever for Christ. They're full up with the world. Well, Mrs. Great Faith has a question for you today. Which one of these kinds of people are you? The crumbs of the Lord Jesus Christ's table to you. That if we come like this woman for the true bread of life, we will have what we desire. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Thirdly, her relevance to the Christian. Her relevance to the Christ teach us lessons about conversion, she is also an example of perseverance in intercessory prayer. Remember, this woman came for another. She wanted her daughter to be delivered. And she challenges us in this way. First of all, she ought to stimulate you to pray for others. Stop and think how many people you know who will not pray for themselves. They may be in your family, they could be friends, but you know them. They will not pray for themselves. You need to pray for them. And then think of other believers who do pray for themselves. However, they also need you to carry their burdens in prayer as well. And there's burdens in this way. J.C. Ryle makes a very obvious and pointed application at this point. There's a woman pleading for her daughter. And Ryle says, fathers and mothers are especially bound to remember the case of this woman. Why? Because we need to bring our children in desperate, persevering faith and prayer that the Lord would spiritually deliver them. You can give much to your children, and you do. You feed them, you clothe them, you give them treats, you take them out for little field trips and things that they can enjoy. But you cannot deliver your children's soul from their sin, nor can you deliver your children out of the hand of the devil. You cannot give your children a new heart. But you can pray. You can pray. And you pray to this one who can do all of those things that I just listed that you cannot do. And sometimes you'll pray and you'll speak to them and you'll feel like you're getting nowhere, and they might say to you, I don't want you to talk to me anymore about this matter. Very well. Even if you can't speak to them, you can continue to cry unto God. Can we not come like this for our loved ones, for our wives, for our husbands, for our children, for our parents, for our siblings? Verse 22, this woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Save my daughter. Save my wife. Save my siblings. I can't do anything, Lord. But you can. You can. Help me, Lord. She ought to stimulate our prayers. So many of these encounters in the Bible are like this. Friends carrying their paralytic friend to Jesus. A man bringing his child to Jesus and saying, I can't do anything with him. He keeps throwing himself down, foaming at the mouth. Brings him to Jesus. Should stimulate you to pray for others. But then, secondly, she is an example of how to persevere in prayer, even for yourself. Even for yourself, for the things that you need. I think we all have to admit that we find this hard. We pray and we get silence and we give up. Or we pray and we get in providence. And that's why providence is a very tricky thing to read. In providence, we seem to get everything to discourage us with regard to the answer of this prayer. What do we do? Well, this woman kept on crying. Mark uses the word besought. In other words, she begged Jesus. She kept on begging Jesus. She begged Jesus until the point the disciples said, oh, would you please do something with this woman? We cannot listen to her anymore. But nowhere in the passage are we told that her crying annoyed the Savior. Maybe you struggle with a sin. Maybe that's the devil that you need to have cast out of your soul. How do you deal with it? Come to Christ like Mrs. Greatfaith here and do not give up. When you get silence, or when things get more difficult, or you become more discouraged, or in providence, everything floods into your life to make the temptation and occasion to that sin even worse. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, help me. She returns to him with arguments. Lord, even the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I think you need to reckon with what Jesus is doing in your life as a Christian when often you cry and he gives no answer. That he's putting your faith to the test. He's not doing it for his sake. He's doing it for your sake. He's putting your faith to the test in order to strengthen it. He's bringing you to ask questions about your love for him to show you that you have it. He's pressing you in areas of patience and endurance to see if you are going to go through in seeking that which you desire. And brethren, this is true. Even in the seeking of communion with Christ himself. You think of how the Bible addresses this. How many times in the Christian life we come, with the cry of the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, "Saw ye him?" He can't find her. Or sorry, she can't find him. What does she do? She begins a search, and all the way questions are put to her that stir up her desire for her beloved. And so she comes to realize just how wonderful and glorious and beautiful and to be desired that he is, and the pain of his absence. She gets beaten along the way by those in the city, and yet she continues to seek for her spouse. I think the woman here encourages you that if you want Christ, you can have him. But to hold him in your arms, you may have to go through this kind of painful experience. I cry, he doesn't answer. What do? I fall down and worship at his feet. He discourages me, and still I beg him. But at length, he yields, and he lifts up the light upon us. Do you remember Joseph? And there he is in Egypt, and his brothers come in one day. And he recognizes who they are, and he sends them on various kinds of wild goose chases back home. Then he brings them back again, and he plays little tricks upon them. And you come to Genesis chapter 45. And Joseph can't contain it any longer. And he says, "I am Joseph." Christ deals with our souls like that. We come seeking him, seeking mercy, seeking help. And all the while he's there. But then in answer to our cries, he says, "I am Jesus." Well, we see it here, don't we, in this woman, Mrs. Great Faith, the last person on earth who may have ever given herself that title. But the Lord Jesus says, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." May God bless his word to our hearts. Stand for prayer. O Lord our God, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would give us hope in Christ, give us desire that will not be thwarted, give us the patience to wait upon the Lord, as we're told to do so often, and to take the naked and bare promise of your word and believe that it is true, even when it doesn't feel true, and where providence seems to contradict it at so many points, to say, this is who Christ is, and this is what Christ has promised, and therefore here I will lie at his feet until he opens unto me. O Lord our God, we pray that this word would be an encouragement to those who are seeking you, an encouragement to those believers who search as the Shulamite, saying, "I know what it is to have Christ, and I know what it is to let go of Christ." O Lord our God, visit us and stir up such desire within our soul. Lord, we know what we are, and we are dogs. We are worthy to be shut out of your kingdom forever. But yet, Lord, you invite us to come, and your sheep hear your voice. Lord, may that voice be heard today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.